Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. I was not late today, as a matter of fact. I was here exceptionally early for me, but within the night we just had to get set up, and we don't really prep for shows great, so we do it like right before the show. I know that probably comes across
shockingly.
You could tell in our content.
Sometimes we prep a little more, but when it's a week like this where there's not a ton of like,
this is kind of like, we'll show up and we'll figure it out. We'll talk about, there'll be some things to talk about.
Talking and
yeah,
stuff.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. The chat will help us out. But yes, I was here on time, so give me a break. This will be my last day in glasses, hopefully getting my contacts again tomorrow. So I know all you guys have just been really enjoying my glasses look. Yes. I've been looking extra smart.
Sophisticated.
Yes, very sophisticated. Yes. But this time has come to an end, and okay. I couldn't be more excited. We scrapped together, I think, a pretty good episode for you guys here tonight. Cleveland signing a guy from the Jets, Cleveland guy coming home. We got a voicemail to get to from overseas. Talk a little bit more about Cleveland City Council and kind of how they're playing this stadium situation. And then I think it was CBS Sports or somebody put out a top 10 coaching list that we wanted to get into a little bit. Was it CBS Sports or no? It was Pro Football Network. So I don't know how legit they are, but they put a list out, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. It's about the effort.
We haven't done really many lists this year. I feel like every offseason we dive into some of these lists.
Yeah. So I guess this is kind of early for a list, so I'm happy they did this early, and I'm happy we're going to get into it. But there's some stuff to talk about on there. Before we jump into the whole episode, though, remember, if you want to get your voicemails on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail. You can find us on all the major social media platforms. Just search at The Dogs Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed or liked yet, please do so. Help us get to that 10K subscriber mark. We want to try to get there before the start of the next football season. I think it's a lofty goal, but with your guys' help, we can get there. So we appreciate anybody who's already subscribed. And if you haven't done so and you like what you're seeing, please like, please subscribe. It helps us out a ton. And lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member, get the extra episode every week, access to the private Discord. You get to come hang out with us. I know on draft night, we're going to be doing on day two of the draft, we will be doing a live episode, and in studio for that live episode, we will have Kenny Mack, who we met through the podcast and Dog Pack member. We will have DF Sports here in studio, who we met through the podcast, Dog Pack member. And then we will also have Devontae coming in here to help us out, Dog Pack member that we met through the podcast. So it's not just like, I promise we're not just stealing your $5 a month. It really is like it turns into like a really cool hangout. We've met a lot of these people now. We've even tossed around the idea of like throwing a party here where we're located and getting everybody in town somehow and making a weekend of it. So it's a really cool community. If you want to just meet Browns fans from really all over, kind of get to know some pretty cool people, check it out. It's a pretty awesome thing. So it's jointhedogs.com if you want to become an official Dog Pack member. Two more cool things I want to announce before we dive into this episode. One, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to, because maybe he's watching, but I just on a whim, I messaged Mo Hurst on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey,
what's up?
It'd be awesome if you came on the show sometime. Cause he follows us for some reason, which I thought was crazy. And I messaged him. He messaged back, was like, hey, let's make it happen. I love the show. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way this guy is actually, if you're watching right now, Mo Hurst, and you watch, it's literally like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. and it's awesome. And there's a chance we'll have Mo Hurst on. If we don't have him on, you know, it is what it is. He's a busy guy and we completely understand, but just in, but in case he was watching, I wanted to give him a shout out for just like following and being involved somehow, because it's so awesome to have a Browns guy who follows us and says he enjoys the show. It's like a dream come true. So if you're watching, Mo Hurst, we appreciate it. And if we can get you on sometime, we're looking forward to it. And then the last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about before we jump into this episode, some really cool news for the Dogs Podcast. We have partnered with Kittle's Pub in Green, Ohio. So if you're local to Tuscarawas County, Stark County, Summit County, even probably over to like Wayne and Carroll County, if basically if you're local to Cleveland within like an hour, you know where Green, Ohio is. And we have partnered with Kittle's Pub in Green. They're going to be the official home of the Dogs Podcast. We are going to have a pizza on their menu named after us. We'll have a beer on the menu named after us. Dog Pack member is the GM there. Him and a buddy are running this place now. His buddy owns it. He messaged out to us, reached out, said, hey, I think we could do something cool. So we partnered with them. If you go into there right now, again, it's Kittle's Pub right off the Maslin Road exit right there in Green, Ohio. And you go in and you mention the Dogs Podcast. Say, hey, I heard about you guys on the Dogs Podcast. You get a free appetizer with an order of an entree. The food, if you check them out on Google right now, it's all 5-star reviews. They just opened like a week or two ago and it's been crazy successful, nothing but great reviews. We're super pumped to partner with a local place that's, you know, within earshot of Cleveland. Hopefully do like a watch party there at some point. We will be there popping in, watching games, hopefully throughout the season, meeting people. It's almost, instead of like, you know, they have Browns backers bars across the country, this is going to be like our very own Dogs backers bar.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's a very cool, I think it has a chance to be a very cool partnership. We need you guys to go visit, go say what's up, say you guys heard about them from the Dogs Podcast. Go try the food. They're great guys. We've met with them a couple times now. Like I said, Nick, the one guy who's in the Dog Pack, he's been in it for years. Super cool guy, vet. He's just a really down to earth, cool guy. He reached out to us about doing something cool. We're super excited to partner with them. So again, go check out Kittle's Pub, Green, Ohio, right off the Maslin Road exit. Tell them you heard about them. You heard about them from the Dogs Podcast. Get yourself a free appetizer. We are going to be meeting up with them in the next couple of weeks, and we will have that. We're going to make a pizza. I think it's going to be a buffalo chicken pizza. We're going to go check out the beers that they have. We're going to try one. They're going to name one after us. So it's going to be super cool. We're actually going to put out the details of a naming contest in the next week or so. We got to put those details together. We're going to let you guys name our pizza and our beer. Then we'll have you guys vote on, we'll pick like our 4 or 5 favorite submissions. And then we will have you guys vote on which one is the favorite. So we're going to get you guys involved, obviously. So I think it's going to be something really, really cool for the Dog Pack, for anybody who's not in the Dog Pack, but you're an active listener on the show. And to really anybody local to Green, Dover, Philly, Canton, Akron, Cleveland, really cool place to go hang out, watch a Browns game and run into us sometime, hang out with us. So again, Kittle's Pub, Green, Ohio, right off the Maslin Road exit, go check them out. We're very excited to partner with them. So diving into this episode, I guess the first like player relevant thing of the only player relevant thing of the week so far, the Browns have signed special teams ace Justin Hardy from the Jets. He's been a Pro Bowl special teams player. Like you guys mentioned before the show, he was the one when we played the Jets late in the season last year, he told Joe, go win it all for me. He's grew up a Browns fan, Cleveland guy coming home. I think it's a pretty cool signing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, anytime you have the opportunity to sign a Pro Bowl player like that, it's a big addition to the roster, but then like for the hometown aspect of it, very cool, especially like Cleveland fans. You know, I love hearing like Cleveland guys talking about coming home now and like they want to win a championship for the city. I love that. Like, so for me, big win. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's listed as special teamer, primarily cornerback. Potentially he can play some wide receiver if need be. Do not expect this guy to do anything but special teams, though, unless really bad things befall the Browns, because he's played 7 seasons so far in the NFL. In just 2 of those seasons has he ever logged any defensive snaps. He only has 116 career snaps playing defense, but he has 2,104 snaps over his career playing special teams, and I think this is a key signing. It's last week we talked about the new kickoff rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how kickoff is now a play. It's an important play not just a booted to the end zone, run down the field for some cardio and then bring the offense out. It's actually going to matter more now. So this is a key signing, I think. I mean, Andrew Berry and the Browns being able to bring in these types of players to fill specific roles. You don't get these types of players, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
He's a Cleveland guy who wants to be here. It's always great for the locker room, for the culture, to have guys who want to be here, that kind of thing. I also like how Andrew Berry is taking the rule changes serious. You know, like you said, it is a play that is going to matter. And we talked about on our episode last week about how if you have a returner who's explosive and has, you know, crazy high acceleration, can go from 0 to 60 real quick, how much it can be a weapon. Well, teams are going to have those guys. You're going to need some way to nullify that now on your kick coverage, that kind of thing. So I like how AB is not just resting on like, it's not going to change the game that much. It's not a big deal. We don't need to address that. We'll be fine. No, he's addressing it head on. He's being proactive instead of reactive. And he didn't just go out and sign to nobody. He went out, he's made a Pro Bowl career out of being a special teams player. So I think it's a really good signing by the Browns.
Yeah, I love it. There's nothing bad to say about it.
Agreed.
So that will take us. We have a voicemail. So that was a guy the Browns signed. The Browns also tried somebody else out from a completely different sport. So we had a guy call in, kind of talk about that.
Hey guys, my name is Kane. I'm calling from Dublin in Ireland. I'm just wondering if you've any thoughts on the international pathway program players, and just that, and that's coming from my notice. The Irish guy that's after signing with the Saints, and the Welsh lad with the Chiefs. I know the Welsh lad visited with the Browns, but signed with the Chiefs. But been listening for a couple of months now. Really love that, just how open you are and how fair you are with everything. But yeah, perfect. Let me know what you think.
Justin, this is more in your native tongue, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. So I've been asked to translate this for my fellow podcasters as someone from the United Kingdom. This is straight English to me. I this is nothing. So basically what he said, he was like, "Hey, Blake, you look great. I've noticed your weight loss. You look wonderful."
Oh, thanks.
He also said, "Josh, you have just a glow of a newly married man. And you also, you know, there's just, maybe you've been working out. You look a little jacked a little bit." He told me, "Hey, nice beard. I hope everything goes well in life." And then he touched on a couple of things. And that was basically the international players pathway. So that basically what it is, this is a program the NFL started where guys internationally are able to come in. It's like a 10-day camp. It's basically like a combine. They do the 40-yard dash. They do all the metrics, interview, and then they have their opportunity to sign with a team after it, which is pretty cool. Before the show, we were talking about, you know, the guy he was talking about, I believe he's a Welsh kid. His name's Lewis Rees-Zammit, rugby player, like, top of his game right now. Like, this dude, you watch his like rugby film and you're like, holy crap, like, this dude's got some wheels, he is explosive. Obviously, way different rules, way different game, but you know, like, we were talking as far as like 40 speed and stuff like that, and like, the guy's 6'3", 209 pounds, like, on a going to a team with Kansas City where there's, you know, the depth chart at wide receiver / running back, you know, there's a role there, especially for kickoff. You know, you have the new rules, a guy that can get into space and is explosive and is fast. We said he ran a 4.44 40, which is like, that's pretty good, you know, for a 6'3", 209 pound guy. His 100 yard time was like 10.4. You're like, okay, that's pretty quick. Like, for reference, Tyreek Hill runs it in like, I think, 10.15. So this guy's got like speed like Tyreek Hill in a 100 yard dash, which is, I think this is just kind of like, you're going to see the importance of like a return player like that, where a guy, like we've said, get him in space and he's explosive and can make some plays. But it's kind of a cool program. You know, he's top of his league, basically in rugby. And it's like the Gloucestershire League or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge rugby fan. I don't really know too much about rugby.
I just know if you're playing rugby,
you're tough.
You're fucking man's man.
Yeah, right. That's where I'm at with it.
Which is why you're going to be disappointed when you come to the NFL.
But yeah, so I mean, for him, you know, he's a top of the line player, you know, in this league. And I think this is something kind of cool. It's very, and he's coming in basically as a rookie, you know. So very, very interesting for translation there.
I think it's key. So you'll find these guys in these other kinds of sports that are just crazy athletes, but they might not have any football experience. So you're not expecting him to come in and he's not just going to line up and play wide receiver and be great right away. But like you said, in the special teams role, especially with the new kickoff rule, if you got a guy who is strong and can accelerate, I don't think like on kickoff, you're not going to need a shifty guy as much now as you're going to need a guy who can break one tackle and just go.
Maybe not even break a tackle.
Yeah, it's just one hit a line. Hole. You know what I mean? Yeah. If he can accelerate and he can break an arm tackle and he runs tough, like Josh Cribbs wasn't shifty. He just hit it and he just would run through arm tackles and he was so hard to bring him. Like that's what I see like this guy could kind of do. And I know there was a rugby guy. He played for the Niners recently, I thought. And I don't remember if he made it, but in the preseason,
something like that,
he did some pretty crazy things, if I remember correctly. But you can find diamonds in the rough doing stuff like this. It's a cool program by the NFL to give some people outside the sport a shot.
Yeah.
And it gives teams a chance to try to, you know, find a diamond in the rough somewhere, a guy who can contribute that you might not find somewhere else.
And it's, like,
there's no doubt there's freak athletes in all the different sports.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's a free roster spot, basically, with this program. It's an extra roster spot going into training camp. So there's not like a whole ton of risk, you know, in doing this.
By the way, thanks for the voicemail. And I want to hear, we got to get that guy in the dog pack because I want to hear him and Pastor Rob talk.
Yeah. I got you guys.
We have another dog pack member from Ireland. Yeah.
I'm going to be like,
Scotland, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be like the UFC guy behind the fighters. And he's like, they're done talking. He's like, yeah. So yeah, I'll be that guy. I got this.
Yeah. We'll have to get you in the dog pack, man. It's a good time in there. Again, we appreciate the voicemail. You said you've been listening for a little bit now. We appreciate the support. Again, if you want to get your thoughts on the show, just head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap leave voicemail. We love getting your guys' thoughts, especially in the dead of the off season here where content is limited. So give us something to talk about.
It's not going to be limited that much longer because the draft is only a couple weeks away, which is just so crazy exciting. To think about.
I know, which will be limited for me because I don't know anything. I'm going to have to do some reading. I'm going to have to learn how to read first.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans were in late March, early April, and that means tournament season is here. And you've heard me talk about the delicious steaks and chicken and burgers and all the meats from Omaha Steaks, but did you know they also have incredible appetizers that are ready in a flash? That's right, Omaha Steaks has everything from chicken wings to flatbread pizzas, pigs in a blanket, and more. They're going to be the new favorites of all of your game day party spreads. Just head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs and score big with 50% off site-wide. That's half off all your favorites like the tender, juicy steaks, big beefy burgers, and the delicious appetizers like I just mentioned. Plus, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out and you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is making it as simple as a layup to step up your appetizer game this tournament season. Head over to omahasteaks.com, use promo code DAWGS at checkout. That's 50% off site-wide plus that extra $30 off your order. Value has never tasted this good. Shop today, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Promo code DOGS when you check out, $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify.
So that'll kind of take us into some more stadium news. There's been a lot of talk. We touched on it some last week. We're all very pro build the dome. But basically Cleveland City Council, they don't want the Browns to move out of downtown for fear of what it's going to do to the economy and all that kind of stuff. I think even if the Browns move out of downtown, downtown's not going to all of a sudden be dead. People are still going to, when people go to Cleveland for a game, they're going to still, it's 10 minutes away. They're still going to stay at hotels in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, because there's nothing around Brook Park. It's not like they're going to go stay at Brook Park where they're going to sleep in an airport terminal. You know what I mean? Like, they're still going to go into Cleveland. They're still going to stay at their hotels in Cleveland, get up, get something to eat, catch a bus over to Brook Park. Like, downtown's not just going to be completely dead. And if you're afraid of that, you can still do a lot of stuff in Cleveland where the current stadium is now. Once it's gone, you can renovate that and make it a place to come watch a game. Say, so come still put up, like, if you're local to Canton over by the Canton Brewing Company, if it's even still around,
I thought they went out of business.
Yeah. But like right in that square, where like where First Friday is and stuff like that, they put up a giant screen amphitheater. They watch Browns games there. They watch all kinds of stuff on a giant screen. You tear down the stadium, renovate it, put shops up there, put a giant screen. People can go to the Muni lot, still tailgate at the Muni lot. And if they don't have tickets to the game, then they go down to where the old stadium was. There's a huge 200-foot screen where they play the game. You know what I mean? Charge $5 to get in.
Yeah.
And watch it on the giant screen. People go crazy. Like, there's so many things you can do to keep downtown alive. We're not going to play in a crap stadium with a crap experience just because of that. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to do it. I don't want to sit either in the blistering cold, or I've gone up to a game before where I sat on the side of the stadium opposite the lake in the summertime. It was a preseason game, and I'm up towards the top, and it was like I was sitting on the surface of the sun. I couldn't even hardly stand to be there. It was like 10,000 degrees sitting up there. And it's like, there's no in between. You can find like a 2 week stretch where it's tolerable to be there. Then other than that, it's either blistering hot, freezing cold, wind. And you know, it doesn't do anything.
You make a good point about the downtown stuff.
Because I agree.
Again, it's 8 or 9 days out of the year. That's it. Everyone's, oh, it's downtown's going to be dead forever. Guys, it's 8 or 9 times a year.
Yeah, the Cavs are still there.
The Cavs are there. The Guardians are there. But the thing about the 8 or 9 games, like you were just saying, those cold games in December, how hopping is downtown really? You know what I mean? Are people leaving the stadium and just bar hopping in 10 degree weather and just having a good time? No, they're getting in their cars and getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah, it's
like, or at least they're getting into traffic.
And again, we talked about on the last episode, like, they can set up transportation. They can still entice people to come to downtown on game days.
Absolutely.
But the city council big guy basically came out, and I reacted to this, and I think you made a post about it on our on the Twitter. It was like, oh, the city, I don't think a lot of these people remember the heartbreak the last time the Browns were just taken out of Cleveland. I'm like, are you really comparing moving the team to Baltimore to moving 8 minutes up the road, 10 minutes up the road, right next to the Cleveland airport?
That's what I love when somebody online said, I guess we're going to have to change it to Brooklyn International or Brook Park International Airport.
Yeah. Like, almost all of these teams don't play in their city.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair point.
The Giants and the Jets don't even play in the same state.
Yeah. That's right.
Also agreed.
Yeah. You know, so like, That was that guy. He's just up there pandering, and I'm just like, bro, you're such a politician. Just shut the fuck up. Like, no, they're like, you sound so dumb. You don't. Yes, we do remember. Turns out I was alive, and this is not the same thing.
He says something about preventing the team from being moved to Timbuktu. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, dude, it's 10 minutes down the road.
Where's Timbuktu at? I don't even know where that's at.
And I mean, he's not moving. He's comparing it to the Baltimore thing. They're trying to create a brand new state-of-the-art facility to highlight and celebrate and bring everybody together in a great place for the Browns, for the team that we all root for.
You think if we host a Super Bowl or the Final Four or a national championship game, you think downtown Cleveland's not going to see any of that if we start hosting these huge events just because it's 10 minutes up the road? Yes, they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those hotels will still be sold out. They'll be completely sold out. You'll be able to get into the city if we are able to host those events. And you want the Browns to be good. You want to attract top-level free agents. Build a state-of-the-art facility, an indoor facility I've heard so many people talk about turf. Just because we build a dome does not mean it has to be turf.
I've seen that from so many people. Well, now you have to have turf.
No, Arizona rolls out
grass. So does Las Vegas.
Yes. Yeah, they all, like, yeah.
You can have grass.
And I feel like Browns ownership and GM and coach, they're they're in tune with what players want. And to me, there's no way they would build a dome and put turf in it.
No.
I think there's almost a 0% chance there'd be turf. I would almost bet my paycheck that it's going to be a dome with grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's not something we have to worry about. But you want to attract high-level free agents, high-level coaches, all that good stuff. don't play in a dump. And you can, the stadium looks great. It looks great from afar, but don't look too close. That's the way the current Cleveland Browns stadium is. It's lagging behind. Look at how far technology has come since the stadium has been built. You can barely keep up with buying laptops. So imagine how quick like stadium technology is going out. We are so far behind some of these places. Look at SoFi, look at Vegas, look at these stadiums being built. Go look up the renderings for the Athletics new stadium in Vegas. And it's wild.
Am I right that the Cleveland Browns Stadium, whenever it was first built in 99, was not built that well to begin with?
From what I hear from people,
I think it's like not a, it's just not great land. What? Like foundationally. Yeah, okay.
When you hear, oh, it's going to cost $1 billion to renovate it, but it'll cost $2 billion to build a brand new state of the art facility, it's like, well, how much are we fixing?
if you're going to do one billion, if we're already talking right. billion, what's another?
I not to like completely get off topic, but like what you were saying about that, where the stadium is now, and people are freaking out and being like, well, there's nothing that can be done. If they renovate that whole area, right? They obviously the stadium will go and they transform that. Do you guys remember what the flats were like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Right. Scooby-Doo Ghostland, you know, like from that song from the We're Not Detroit. Mm-hmm. Scary, right? If you've been to the flats in like, let's say the last 3-4 years, the flats is a nice area. It's a nice, it's a cool environment. It, you know, brings in tons of money. There's no reason why they can't do something like that, especially it's lakefront. You know, this isn't like this. They're just going to knock the stadium down and then there's just going to be this big, barren, big pile of just rubble sit there for the next 40 years of our life. Like it's lakefront property. Like they've been wanting to renovate that area my whole life. Even with the stadium there, they've always talked about revamping that area, and they've done little things here, you know, like the park with the courthouse and all that stuff. Yeah. So like, to me, I don't think like, it's like, oh, well, it's this stadium or nothing. Like, you know what I mean? I think it'd be cool to be in a dome. I've been to freezing games my entire life, you know?
Have you been to a game in a dome?
I don't think so.
It's awesome.
I don't believe. I have.
I went to the Ohio State Wisconsin Big Ten championship game a few years ago. The one where the turf ripped and the guy had to go out and fix the turf.
Yeah.
I was at that game at Lucas Oil. It's awesome. God, it is awesome. And the Browns home game environments, especially the last couple of years as we've been turning the corner some as a franchise, it's already like borderline college game atmosphere in terms of like rowdiness and loudness. Pack that into a dome.
Yeah.
It will be so loud. You want to talk about home. Guess what is not home field advantage? The weather. Because it's cold as shit for everybody. It's raining for every. It's not an advantage. If anything, it's an equalizer at times. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what is home field advantage? When it's you can hear a pin drop when we're on offense, and when it's on defense, your ears are bleeding.
Yeah.
Okay. And that will be the way it is if we're playing in a dome. It will be so loud. It will be insane.
I've seen a lot of people with that argument with, you know, oh, Cleveland is football weather. That's an advantage. It hasn't been an advantage for 30 years.
Correct.
So the thing is, somebody made a good point on, I think it was Facebook. We were talking about it and they said the majority of your roster turns over every year. You know, your depth pieces, you're signing new guys every offseason. That's why free agency is so big. It's not like it's a high school team where these kids have grown up from middle school on up or even younger playing peewee in these cold elements and all this stuff, and they're built for this.
Yeah.
These guys are coming from all over the country all the time.
There are guys on our team who'd never seen snow before they got to Cleveland.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
it's not an advantage.
It's not an advantage. And I just, that whole argument,
It was
wild.
I've argued with guys over the past couple of weeks too about it, like where they're like, well, we have Nick Chubb and this, you know, high powered, like we can just run the ball. I'm like, well, look at the rest of the teams in our division. It's not like they're not lacking those players too. Like Derrick Henry's in Baltimore. Turns out Zach Moss has been a pretty decent player the last few years. Like he's in our division. They had Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren in Pittsburgh. It's not like we're the only running team in the league. Like, every team in our division has like suitable backs that can do this. I don't understand that. Oh, well, you can't throw the ball because the weather's so awful. Like
The other thing I wanted to say there about the weather was think about 2022. The New Orleans Saints came up on the second coldest game in Cleveland football history on the lake and beat us.
Yeah.
And they're a dome team.
In a shootout, what, 13 17 to 6? 17 to 10. Yeah, okay.
I think another great point you made online, too, is a lot of the people who are complaining about they don't want the dome, football is an outside sport, they're the same people who will complain if our quarterback doesn't throw for 350 yards
yep.
when it's raining.
Yep, people all the time, well, he wasn't that good in the Bengals game. He had 154 yards and two touchdowns. It rained the whole freaking time.
Yeah.
So, what do you want?
Yeah. So which is it? Do you is football a man's game where you have to play it in the elements and it doesn't matter? Do you want your quarterback to throw for 350 every game? What, right. You can't have both. Guess who was worse in the rain? Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow was real bad.
He didn't even have 100 yards passing.
82.
Yeah. So like all the people who will complain about the offense and its explosiveness and we're not putting up points and we're not throwing for enough yards. If we're like, well, let's get a dome. Let's play in good weather. Let's use our speed. No. Football has to be played outside. It's in the weather. Quit being pussy.
AFC North.
Like AFC North football.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, AFC North. I'm like, oh boy.
There's such a contingent of just I'm trying not to be too mean to people, but
I just don't understand how people can't put the context together. Like that just made sense to me. You can't come out here and demand that your quarterback has these amazing games and yet demand that he also plays in freezing cold and snow and rain and monsoons. I mean, the year that you, what year was that? 21, I think you went for like two or three straight home games that were just
worst. So I can remember them. It was the
Raiders,
Philly,
right?
Philly.
Yeah, Philly.
Philly, and it started off raining, and then it turned freezing, like freezing rain through the third quarter, and you couldn't even, it was literally the most painful game. To this day, it's one of the most painful games I've ever sat through. My wife is so pissed. She was so mad. Literally, the next game we went to, Houston Texans game, I'm like super stoked. You know, we're going to see Deshaun Watson. Oh, tornado warning. We got evacuated down into the bowl and we weren't allowed to be in our seats. And then the game after that, there was another one.
It was
one.
The Raiders.
Was it the Raiders? Oh, yeah. And it was,
Josh Jacobs beat us up.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. It was negative 88 degrees or something stupid.
Yep.
It's wild to me. Like, come on, guys. If you're saying you don't, I guarantee you, if you're super anti dome, the first time you watch the game in the dome, you're going to be like, okay.
This is cool. Yes.
I also said a lot of the people that are saying, oh, football should be played in the elements. It's a man's game, blah, blah, blah.
They won't go to the game.
They won't go to the game when it's cold. They're the guys sitting at home on their couch on Sundays watching the people in the stands going, can you believe these idiots freezing their asses off up there today?
I'm that idiot.
It's the same people who like watch some dude and be like, they're like sitting there eating Cheetos off their chest and they can't walk. And they're like, that guy sucks.
Make the play.
Yeah. You can't run faster than that. I am that guy sometimes.
I didn't want to say it, bro. I didn't want to do it to you.
I just don't eat Cheetos off my chest.
Yeah, I was going to say, but definitely have a
it's like Doritos.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Can you believe this guy can't run sprints all day?
Can you give me a bag of chips?
What a piece of shit. Hey, will you give me some Doritos? Beer me.
Yeah, and put them on my chest for me.
Yeah. My arms are tired. Can you change the channel? Those are the people complaining about, you know, you're talking about the weather and stuff. I don't complain about the weather, but I have been like, can you believe this guy can't make a fucking tackle? And I like stand up off my couch to go get more pizza. And
tear your ACL.
My back.
I guess it's true. I do sit there and say, look at these idiots sitting in this weather, but I also don't go sit in the weather and I don't advocate for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin.
Justin wants the dome, but
I don't care either way.
He toughs it out for the brownies.
Yeah, I don't care either way. Either way, it is what it is. But
Justin blows my mind. I mean, we'll look at the forecast like, dude, it's wind chill like negative 13 tomorrow, man. And Justin's like, I guess I'll have to pack an extra sweatshirt.
I guess I'm going to have to put a beanie on, not go shirtless.
Here's the thing is I would be in, like, I've gone to a cold weather game. The coldest game I can remember going to was when the Browns played the Texans. We had Brady Quinn and they had Steve Slayton. Am I saying that right?
Sure.
Steve Slayton, the running back. This is going way back. And Slayton was good, but he fumbled like six times a game. And I was like, oh, this is going to be sweet. And Brady Quinn broke his finger, played like a play. And it was the most boring game ever. And it was so cold. And I was like, this sucks. But I would go to a cold weather game. I would even probably go to a rain game if it wasn't a rain game that I had to get up there at 7 in the morning. And I also had to walk, you know, 35 minutes to get to the stadium. And then I was also stuck in my car for 2 hours in the parking garage waiting to move. Like, I'll do one of them. You know what I mean? But the combination, if I'm going to go sit in the freezing cold and get rained on and all this stuff, then when I get in my car, I want to pull out and go home.
Yeah.
I don't want to, now I'm sitting in my car freezing cold for 2 hours.
But you're
not
going to go frequent every establishment in downtown Cleveland to help build the economy. when you're getting in your car and going home.
Yeah, that's a good point. You definitely have
to, there's got to be preparation. If you just roll up, you know, in jeans and tennis shoes and a hoodie, it's going to be miserable. You better bring a poncho. You better bring a jacket.
Somebody says, build Cleveland, stop being... Yes.
Yes.
I feel like there are just so many Browns fans, like older, old school Browns fans that are just stuck in 1980.
Well, and they're the ones that probably keep saying, fire Barry, fire Stefanski. They can't do anything right because they're just so... And that's what sucks. The change now is stability versus turnover constantly. And they can't handle that change.
The people who complained my whole life about how we couldn't keep a coach and are now the people who that we have a coach and we have a GM that they want to get rid of them because we're not, what have they done? I put it on. I talked about it. They're on par with basically the rest of the league. Postseason success will hopefully come. Go find me the coach and GM that just in their first year went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and it's not like they inherited the best situation.
Yeah. So I had somebody try to say that they didn't take over a dumpster fire. Did Freddie Kitchens
1-31 was kind of bad.
But then they had
two decent years.
Like a 9-7 year, but then they went 6-10.
Yeah.
And don't tell me Cleveland wasn't a dumpster fire the Freddie Kitchens year. We won 6 games, which isn't good. We went 6-10. But on top of that, do we not remember Miles hitting a guy with the helmet? Freddie Kitchens wearing a shirt that said Pittsburgh started it.
OBJ's like, dad.
Yeah, and Joku can't get on the field and wants a trade. Do we not remember this stuff? Yes. It was a total circus in Cleveland when AB and Kevin came in. They had to stabilize the franchise in a year in which they had to meet players over Zoom.
Couldn't even.
That's a good point.
We couldn't even, you know what I mean? Like, and these are the guys you want to fire because they didn't win a Super Bowl in their first 4 years. Well, it turns out the rest of the league isn't winning Super Bowls in their first 4 years either. I went over it so many. The average coach win percentage is since like 1950 is 43%. Our guy's winning 55%, which puts him right in the upper echelon of top-tier guys.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Kyle Shanahan. We're going to get to this coaching list. I'm pretty sure Stefanski's win percentage is higher. Yes, Shanahan has postseason success. He also isn't in his first 4 years. Anytime Shanahan didn't have a loaded roster, he had a backup quarterback, guess what? He's 30 games under 500. Guess what Stefanski has coached with his entire time in Cleveland? Bad quarterback play, backup quarterback play, injured quarterback play. He has had zero stability at the quarterback position, but has won 55% of his games.
Yep. I had somebody tell me on social media today, they said Kevin Stefanski should be fired. I said, why?
Oh, man.
They said, because you're telling me he could only win 11 games last year with all the talent on that roster? That's terrible. And I said, first of all, I now know you didn't watch any of the games.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, all that talent you were talking about, most of it was on IR.
Yeah.
26% of it.
And he still won 11 games, should have won 12 because we took week 18 off. People forget that. They're like, oh, you guys won 11-6. It probably should have been 12-5.
We started a guy at quarterback who hadn't even been on the team for like 4 days.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah.
So, no, like
the Browns. We started PJ Walker.
Yes. The Browns are third or fourth in the league most in 11, one of three or four teams with 11 plus wins two of the last 4 years. Our coach has been coach of the year two of the last 4 years. Like, I didn't mean to take this off on this tangent.
No, it's okay, because we're going to do the coaching list. So, I mean, diving into
segue.
We're,
but it's just like crazy.
It's a long segue, but
it's crazy.
Get to the point, brother.
How
lead us in.
It's wild. Like, well, what has he done yet? We have, as a fan base, we have no like perspective, context. We do none of that. It's just like, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He sucks. Well, 31 teams didn't win a Super Bowl last year. I think there's still at least a couple good coaches and GMs out there.
Yeah.
I thought the sky was going to fall in 2001 when we made the playoffs. Like, I was just like, I can't believe this. And then we won a game. And I was like, oh.
And if you talk about being happy that we have stability, being happy that we've won 55% of our games. We have 2-11 win seasons. We have a playoff win. Oh, you're just settling for mediocrity. No, we're realistic about what the actual standard of success in the NFL is.
Well, and I posted the other day on Twitter too, Kevin Stefanski at home over 4 years, 24-10. Yeah. 24-10, 8-1 just this past season.
So we got to figure out the road stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, we have definitely have to figure out the road stuff, but that home record is phenomenal.
We take care of business at home. Yes. Which goes to...
You're supposed to.
Changing the culture.
Yes.
It's not... You don't just come into Cleveland and get wins now. It's not a bye week if you're coming to Cleveland playing Cleveland.
No.
This episode is sponsored by Aura. Browns fans, your online data and identity are way too precious to be left just hanging out there in the open for these data-stealing thugs to come after it, take it, and sell it to whoever they want. Scammers and spammers are just capitalizing on all of your data being sold, and I'm telling you right now, you don't even realize it because I didn't realize it. Head over to Aura, Aura.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S. Get a 14-day free trial. This is what I did. Create your account, and then you can run your data check, a free data check, and it will tell you how many data brokers are selling your information on the dark web and in different areas of the internet, and then Aura starts working immediately to remove your information from those places. I kept thinking I was good online, I was fine, I wasn't doing anything crazy with my information, I was being cautious while I was shopping online, all those things. And still, when I ran my check, I had 14 data brokers identified selling my information, and Aura immediately started taking my name and all my information, my address, my email, my phone number, everything out of those places. I am so sick and tired of getting the spam emails, getting the spam text messages, the calls, and it's time to put all that crap to an end. So check out Aura, 14-day free trial, run your check, see what all the features they have to offer, like their VPN, their parental controls, everything that they have to protect your online identity. Aura.com/dogs. Take back control of your identity today.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we'll kind of segue into this top 10 coaching list, which I saw this like a week or so ago, and it's not the worst list that we've ever broken down on this show. Okay. But there's just a couple in here that made me scratch my head just a little bit. So they have the 2024 head coach, rankings for the NFL. At one, they have Andy Reid. At two, they have Sean McVay. At three, they have Kyle Shanahan. At four, they have John Harbaugh. Five is Mike Tomlin. Six is Jim Harbaugh. Seven is Matt LaFleur. Eight is Sean Payton. Nine is Dan Campbell. And 10 is Mike McDaniel. I will live with everything 1 through 5 because I think those are all very good head coaches. Mm-hmm. Where you start to lose me and is here at number 6. Correct. And don't get me wrong, I think Jim Harbaugh is a good football coach.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a chance he will be on my top 10 list in just 1 year. But I don't think you can take a guy who's been out of the NFL now for a while it took him a long time to get it right at Michigan. And sorry to any Michigan fans, he really started to turn the corner when they got caught cheating. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I understand they won it all this year, even after they had to quit their cheating and he built the program up. They were definitely in dire straits and he added a lot of NFL coaching. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good football coach. Do not take that the wrong way. But it's just hard for me to put him in the top 10 of NFL coaches right now. He hasn't coached in the league in so long. You have no idea how he's going to transition back into the modern day NFL. I mean, he took the league by storm with Kaepernick in like the read option. Guess what? That's kind of, you know,
that's what everybody does now.
Yes. So that one, again, I think Jim Harbaugh is a coach. I just wouldn't put him in. It's too early to put him in the top 10 for me. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur. People want to talk about that. They did win a playoff game this year. But he came off, he had Aaron Rodgers for 2 years, back-to-back 13 win seasons, bowed out in the playoffs. Okay. So if you think Matt LaFleur is a good coach, you have to think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach.
That's
fair. Sean Payton.
What are we doing?
Listen.
What are we doing, guys?
I feel like, so before he got hired in Denver, I would have definitely said, I wouldn't have put him on a top 10 list for the same reason I wouldn't have put Jim Harbaugh on a top 10 list in his first year. But this, the way he has handled Denver to me, I mean, maybe he'll prove us all wrong, but it has been a little bit circusy.
And douchey.
Since he's taken over in Denver.
Yeah.
He's been a little bit of a D-bag, even when it comes to talking about the former coaching staff.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Absolutely.
I feel like the way they did Russell, even if you think Russell can be corny, okay, and maybe he's a little bit fake, he's still a guy who's won a Super Bowl, been to two Super Bowls, won a lot of games. He's a professional. And by all accounts, he might be corny, but like a decent dude. Okay, and then a
decent quarterback.
Yeah, and then he wasn't the reason you guys were sucking last year. He put up comparable numbers as some of the top quarterbacks in the league last year. And to tell him you have to waive this, even though we agreed to it in the contract or we're going to bench you, I just feel like they did him so dirty. And Sean Payton is a huge reason behind this. Everybody talks about how much like he didn't like him. And then you start to look, and it's like he had all of his success with Drew Brees. And then Brees left, and the Saints pretty much fell apart.
Fizzled out,
fizzled out.
Which is fair.
And then his 1 year in Denver has been a little bit of a circus act. So that is a little bit of a stretch to me to put him at top 10. I guess what's the criteria? Are we talking about career? Because if we're talking about career, okay. But if we're only talking about like last 5 years, none of these guys, so you got Andy Reid, McVay, and Shanahan. Nobody else has any postseason success. Mm-mm. None.
Sure.
So if all these guys are considered good coaches, they've done nothing postseason-wise in the last 5 years. Then you got Dan Campbell, I think, is a very good head coach. He can be a little reckless in terms of his decision-making, but I also think that is what has turned him into a good coach in terms of his players buying in and making the culture and being like the tough, gritty team they are.
They're tough to beat because he takes those risks.
Yeah. Yes. So it can come back to bite him, but I also think it's a huge reason why he's turned it around there. So it's a little bit like rocking a hard place. And then Mike McDaniel. And don't get me wrong, I think I like Mike McDaniel a lot, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, how is Kevin Stefanski, the guy who's won 50% of the Coach of the Year awards the last 4 years.
That's a good point.
Not in your top 10 coaches list, but you'll put Mike McDaniel up there, who has a worse record. He's done nothing in the postseason. He's arguably had more talent. I mean, think about their wide receiver core.
Yeah.
They have their first round quarterback that they drafted, and he's won less games, has less playoff wins. I mean, How can you put him at 10 and not Kevin Stefanski? How can you put Matt LaFleur in there and not put Kevin Stefanski? How can you put Jim Harbaugh? Kevin Stefanski's been coach of the year twice. He has two 11-win seasons out of the last 4 years.
Yep.
So I just don't get that at all. Obviously, like the league and the writers and everybody understand how good of a coach he is. So whoever made this list, I don't get how.
So you two, where are you putting him then? Like, let's say this list is not there. Let's say you get to make your own list. And I don't care who's above him or below him, but where are you putting him? Let's say in a top 15, a top 10. You know what I mean?
So I think they obviously got number one right.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's going to be much debate on that one.
But here's another thing, too, is if you're talking career, like some of these guys that you have to be talking about full career if Sean Payton's on there.
Right.
How's Bill Belichick not on there?
He's not a coach right now.
I guess.
That's true.
That's got to be, yeah. I almost forgot that he wasn't the head coach.
It's wild, right?
It's very wild.
I don't know. This does say 2024 NFL head coach ranking. So is this just what they're projecting the head coach to kind of do with their team in 24?
No, I just think well, it's how they. Denver. I just think it's how they rank the coaches coming into 2024.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. But
so I think I don't think that I don't have any problem with one. I don't really have any problem with two.
Right.
I agree. To be honest, I don't have a huge problem with three. But I just feel Kyle Shanahan gets so much just flowers and praise, and it's like nobody acknowledges some of the very like negative things about his tenure and mistakes and squandering leads and Super Bowls and not winning games unless he has his, you know, he has to have all of his starters to win the games. As soon as Debo goes out, they lose games. You know what I mean? Like it's one of the, like he has coached an absolutely loaded roster.
Correct.
And anytime they've had injuries to that loaded roster, they've fallen apart and won four games.
I could be wrong, but I think their window is closing very quickly. Like, I mean, how many a CMC is great, right? But like, honestly, how many more years of CMC are you? We really, really expecting where we're like, he's this elite talent. You know, Ayuk wants out. The defense is kind of turning over. You're seeing already like some of those big names are out. I'm not saying that they're not going to be good. I still think they're going to be, especially in the NFC, they're going to be a tough team.
See, for me, my first problem does start with three because I just, and as much as I hate the Steelers, I think Mike Tomlin should be up ahead of Kyle Shanahan because
Mike Tomlin's a hell
no matter coach. What the Steelers have on their roster. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't you matter. With Kyle Shanahan, it's like, oh, he's got this great roster and they do so well, blah, 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 or whatever. You know, you talk about the win percentage not being what everybody thinks it is based on the hype. But Mike Tomlin, it doesn't matter what the roster is.
What do you think?
You know they're going to be competitive.
What do you think Shanahan's doing with Duck Hodges?
Duck Hodges.
You know what I mean? That's like, or a good point. Mason Rudolph, or the list goes on.
Kenny Pickett.
They're a team that I don't care. They could literally roll out the worst roster in the world. And I'm like, well, they're going to be at least 500.
This is the thing. That's a good side note. Pittsburgh's roster, like the last couple of years and right now, is, correct me if you guys don't agree, but their roster is one you look at, and if they don't have a good head coach, if they just have a mediocre or a shitty head coach,
bottom feeder, big time. Not a.
It just makes all that difference.
Yep.
In my opinion,
I agree.
Something Kyle Shanahan, I gotta fact check this, but
he's doing mad research over there.
I know
he has a 32-40 record as a head coach.
Hmm.
A 32-40 record as a head coach.
Sounds like it's a little under 500.
I don't know, man. Are you sure?
That's what this says. I got to check this out. Anybody have this for me?
I'm looking right now.
That's not including playoffs. That's a regular season record.
Well, I'll let you guys look up the stats. Yeah. I'll just talk a little bit more. So for me, Kevin Stefanski, I would probably have him, because like you said, Blake, 6, Jim Harbaugh out of the list. Sean Payton at 8 out of the list.
Yep.
I mean, Dan Campbell has done a good job, but I obviously am biased toward Kevin Stefanski. So I would probably put Kevin at 6 or 7 on this list.
So this says his head coaching career, he's 64-51. Yeah. I don't know where they got this from. So he's won 55% of his games, Kyle Shanahan. Guess who else has?
Kevin.
He's okay. Now he's 8-4 in the postseason. He's got a lot of postseason wins. Again, with loaded rosters, Kevin has made the postseason. He wasn't even allowed to be there for one of the games.
Right.
And he had a lineman who'd never met the team and got his first team practice in a parking garage.
Blake Hance, I forgot about. Bold Blake.
Okay.
Yep.
I've talked about this on the show before. Kyle Shanahan, before Brock Purdy was on the team, Kyle Shanahan was 30-plus games under 500 when Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. When Jimmy G didn't play and Kyle had to play with a backup quarterback, he was 33 games under 500. Kevin Stefanski has won 55% of his games playing almost exclusively backup quarterbacks. That is the difference. So, again, I don't try to be a Kyle Shanahan hater, but too many people look at him with just rose-colored glasses. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks this, if you pay attention, because I have a friend who's a huge 49ers fan, and his biggest concern going into the Super Bowl this year was Kyle Shanahan's decision making.
I remember you saying that.
He didn't. Yeah. He was like, he doesn't think Kyle Shanahan is that great of a coach. So, and he's a 49ers fan who watches them, keeps up with them, everything. So I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I just think freaking love them. They don't pay attention to any of the negative, I feel like.
Yeah, Jack in the chat, good point. He says Kevin bested Shanahan with PJ Walker.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
If I was making a list right now, Kevin Stefanski, if I'm just kind of looking at this where I'd slide him in, I'd probably, even if I left Shanahan in, because he's got the 8-4 postseason record, he's played in 2 Super Bowls the last few years, I would, I'd put him probably like 6. I'd probably take Jim Harbaugh out, put him in there right in like the Matt LaFleur, because I do think Matt LaFleur is a good coach.
I do too.
Oh, yeah.
And what he did with Jordan Love last year, like yes. They're kind of turning a corner. So I would put Kevin at like 6, somewhere in there. Jim Harbaugh, or not Jim, John is a great coach. Yep. Mike Tomlin's a great coach. So, but yeah, just some of these guys, like I understand when I think of great coaching, I don't just think of who's winning when they have the best players. That's why I give Ryan Day shit sometimes when people talk to me about his win record. And I'm like, well, yes, he has 22 5-star players out there going against Illinois. Yes, he's going to win 85% of his games. How does he coach when it's even or if his back's against the wall? That's where I see how good of a coach you are. When Kyle's had to coach with his back against the wall or he's missing a guy, a key guy, he loses almost exclusively. When Kevin has to play down a guy, he still somehow figures out a way to go out and get 11 wins.
Yeah.
Do you think the Niners win 11 games last year if Sam Darnold has to play all the games?
And they don't have CMC? Because like we didn't have Nick Chubb.
No, they don't. They definitely don't. They started losing games just by losing Debo. They still have Brock Purdy.
And then you lose your 2 tackles and then your 3rd tackle. And yeah, I mean, what the Browns did last year, we say it all the time.
Very special.
Freaking phenomenal. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So
very special. I like that.
I think Kevin is a very good coach. I think there's a portion of the Browns fans who might not think so. And that portion just doesn't really know what they're talking about because they don't just give away Coach of the Year awards. They're earned, and that means other people, not just Browns fans. Like, you know it's legitimate and earned when other people not affiliated with Browns or Browns fandom are the ones who chose him. It's not like it was a vote in Cleveland to see if Kevin Stefanski should be Coach of the Year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and they've given it to him twice because both times he faced what should have been insurmountable odds, and he goes out and gets 11 wins. His first year taking over a dumpster fire, COVID, everybody's like, he won 11 games. There was no fans in the stands, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there was no fans in the stands. That made having to coach over Google Meet easier. That had to make going out there and playing with a guy who had never met your quarterback before until 10 minutes. That made that easier.
What about that Jets game whenever we had no wide receivers?
Yes.
The entire wide receiver, people forget this. The entire wide receiver core was out for that game because somebody was exposed to COVID or whatever.
Yes.
We had nobody.
It's Jarvis.
Yeah. So that was basically...
That was the first game Jarvis had ever missed in his career, wasn't it?
Yeah. Basically an automatic L. Yeah. We were basically handed by the league a loss before we even went in. And we still won 11 games.
And we still almost won that game, if you remember. Yeah. It was a close game until, like, I want to say early fourth quarter.
You make a great point, and it does... It's a good idea to just remind everybody that in 2020, Kevin Stefanski came in, like you said, met the team over Zoom, did the entire offseason program over Zoom, and he's never been a head coach before. It's not like he was Jim Harbaugh coming into that type of situation where I've been a head coach in the league before. I kind of know how this goes. He's a rookie head coach coming in doing this. And it's the first time anyone's ever had to do it this way. And he found a way to do it. I don't know. I think he's a very smart guy and I think he can adapt and he's got it going on.
And here's some people will give a shit online for defending Stefanski, saying like he can do no wrong in our eyes and all this stuff. No,
we're pretty critical.
We've been critical of Kevin Stefanski before, but here's the when you do enough good things and you do enough right, you start to earn trust. You start to earn like some leeway in terms of, okay, he made this decision. He's made a bunch of good decisions before. So if he happens to make one bad decision, I will not crucify him because he has data and experience and knowledge, and he's built the trust with me that if one bad decision isn't going to ruin it. If he goes an entire season and makes 50 bad decisions and we go 2-12 or 2-15 because, okay, that trust will be gone. But he's earned the ability to make a bad call sometimes, just like every other coach in the NFL.
we were very critical of Kevin even earlier this year, talking about, okay, some of these play call decisions in certain points of the game, what is he thinking? Is he making bad decisions? And we had Jake Burns come on, because we're not just going to sit around and continue to blame Kevin for things without, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Jake Burns comes on and tells us, based on film study, all this stuff about Kevin. Yeah, he's running kind of an antiquated offense. But if you go back and look at those plays that we were questioning and criticizing, they were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The players watched every single one of them.
Like, Jake basically came on and was like, listen, in theory, these are working. So, which tells me it worked. But but like, he was like, we need to spruce it up to get current. I think that's what Ken Dorsey
will do. The entire revamping of the coaching staff was all about. Yeah. Ken Dorsey and all these college minds coming in. I think 2023, as long as we keep healthy in the primary positions.
24,
sorry. Could be a very, very special year again.
I agree.
Yes. So we managed to fill up an episode.
Yeah.
Of course we did. We're the dogs. That's what we do.
Yeah. So we appreciate you guys being here. We're going to wrap this thing up. I don't know. The chat seemed pretty lively. So as always, we appreciate anybody who is here. We're going to be doing hopefully some cool episodes coming up. Hopefully Mo Hurst will be on here. Knock on wood. Mo, if you're still watching, good for you. Thanks for being here through an entire episode.
Kenny Mack, if you're in the chat still, I don't know. I haven't seen your name for a minute, but me and Kenny Mack are going to do a quick mock draft episode.
Very cool.
For Sunday, I think, is going to come out.
Awesome. So we're going to be doing some of that stuff. I'm currently thinking about my next solo episode idea. So if you have any ideas, drop them in the comments.
Don't miss Blake's take. Somebody posted a comment and said that they added your last one to their favorites playlist or whatever.
Oh, because snap.
Of all the sense dropping you were doing.
That's what I'm a sense dropper.
Yeah. A sense dropper.
I'm a sense dropper.
And not sense like money.
Yeah. I don't have any of that.
Yeah, right.
We appreciate you guys being here. Again, just last reminder before we get out of here. If you're local, go check out Kittle's Pub in Green, Ohio. Tell them you heard about them from us, the Dogs Podcast. Get yourself that free appetizer. Check out the play. Super cool guys. Like I said, we've met them. And we're super excited for our partnership with them. I think it has a chance to be something really cool where we can come out and meet you guys in person and hang out, get some food, get some beer, watch football. So if you're in the area, go check them out. That's Kittle's Pub right off the Masson Road exit in Green, Ohio. Tell them we said hello. We appreciate you guys being here. And make sure you guys check out Josh and Kenny's episode on Sunday. Until then, have a good week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.